Amen, amen. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. As you find your seats, let's just kind of all celebrate together, man. Christmas is almost here, isn't it? I mean, you talk about right around the corner. I mean, it's just right here in our face. And I got to tell you, as I think about Christmas, I've been giving this a lot of thought. I think for me, as far as like the idea of unwrapping gifts that are under the tree, I mean, my prime Christmas years were when I was in grade school. You got to understand, my parents were teachers. We didn't grow up poor, but we certainly didn't grow up wealthy, and we lived pretty frugally. Dad was investing in things, and just an incredible dad, incredible mom. But I'm telling you, at Christmas, they would go all out. And mom would start like on December 1, buying gifts and wrapping them and putting them under the tree. And I kid you not, by the time it got to Christmas, I mean, there were three of us kids. I mean, the presents would be stacked this high all the way around the tree. I mean, it was so fun. Every night for like 2 weeks, we would literally pull all of the gifts out. And mom, crazy mom, she would actually label who the gift was. And so we would get our pile of gifts and we'd start shaking them. Okay, this is the chocolate covered cherries, and we just tried to figure out exactly what we got. So then mom got wise and started using a dot system, and anyway, it just kind of took all the fun away. But like I said, you know, it just kind of went downhill from there. But there's one Christmas that stands out. I couldn't remember how old I was, and so I literally called my brother yesterday and said, okay, how old were we when we got this particular gift? And here's the thing. One Christmas, my brother and I received a mini bike. Oh, I'm telling you. We lived out in the country. It is a pretty long drive just from the road to our house, right? And so we're driving up and down this long drive. But we lived out in the country. So you've got to understand there are fields and there are creeks. And I'm telling you, this mini bike was an all-terrain vehicle before they invented ATVs. And we set up jumps, and I'm telling you, we got so much air. I bet you I was getting that much air right there. The way I remember the story, though, Evel Knievel himself came by our house and asked me for my autograph. Oh, is this incredible? I mean, in grade school, we would ask for the world, and it just seemed like we received the world. Now I got to admit, my expectations as far as what was under the tree that I was personally going to unwrap, my expectations went down as my age went up. By the time I got to high school and college, there'd be one or two big gifts that we really needed. And then I got married and we had kids. And then the whole thing just kind of changed. I mean, Christmas was no more really about what I was going to unwrap that's under the tree. It was all about giving to our kids and seeing their faces, and there's something healthy and good about that, right? And now it's about our kids and our grandkids. Kim just finished her shopping for the grandkids, and we were like two little kids. She's telling me all about it yesterday, and we're both just kind of salivating over the thought of watching our grandkids opening up these gifts on Christmas Day. I mean, it's just amazing. But here's what I have to confess to you. Christmas right around the corner. My expectations for what I'm going to unwrap, they went down as my age went up, but that's okay, because the focus has shifted not to what I'm going to receive, but what I'm going to give, and then the joy that I'm going to see in other people's faces, and that's a good thing. I think that's a healthy thing when it comes to Christmas, but it's not a healthy thing when it comes to faith. Think about it. When we first come to faith in Jesus, maybe you're here this morning exploring faith in Jesus, and I'm telling you, if you're coming, I hope that your expectations of Jesus are literally out of this world, literally out of this world. And we come with expectations so high, right? I'm going to give my life to Jesus, and Jesus is going to, I'm just going to unwrap so much from this relationship. Jesus is going to give me new life in Him. I'm going to have a new purpose. I'm going to have a new mindset. Jesus is going to raise my soul to new levels of joy and hope. Jesus is going to come in, and I'm going to unwrap this desire to follow Him and this willpower to say no to temptation. And he's going to lead me not into temptation. He's going to deliver me from the evil. I mean, my expectations and your expectations when we come to Jesus are so high. But it's so easy as our years go up to allow our expectation to go down to the point that we might say to somebody, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And what that means to me is that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. How sad if as your years have gone up with Jesus, your expectations for Jesus have gone down. But I'm telling you, you're not the first one who's there. We're in a sermon series called Encountering Jesus, right? And this morning we're going to look at the shepherds. And I'm telling you, the shepherds are a group of men who believed in God. It's just that they had very few expectations of God. And they believed that God would send the Messiah. They just didn't expect God to send the Messiah in their day. And they believed that God is real, and yet they didn't expect God to actually enter into their life or make much of a difference in their life. They just believed that I believe in God, and someday I'm going to live in the kingdom of God with him, and that's about it. That is until they encountered Jesus. We're gonna read the story of the shepherds. It's in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And go ahead and open your Bible to that portion of Scripture. And I'm going to ask you if you would stand. And I'm going to read through this portion of Scripture. So you say, Pastor, why are you asking us to stand? We just stood and prayed and stood and sang. And listen, the reason I'm asking you to stand is because we're acknowledging that God is about to speak. And we, by standing, are saying, God, we're standing at attention. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. So will you listen as God speaks? Starting with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel, we're going to start off with one angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel, the one angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom the Lord is pleased. When the angels, plural now, went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for honoring God and His Word. Hey, there's one thing that I really, really, really want you to just let bake in your mind and your heart today, and it is this. If you have low expectations for Jesus, seek a fresh encounter with Jesus. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Have you lowered your expectations for Jesus? And we're going to consider that together. And then I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to seek a fresh encounter with Jesus this Christmas. But let's look at the first part of that equation. If you've lowered over the years, your years go up, your expectation for Jesus goes down. If that's happened to you, if you've lowered your expectation for Jesus to do anything real in your life, lowered your expectation of what you're going to unwrap from your relationship with Jesus Christ, understand this. The shepherds beat you to it. They were right there. Listen again to what it says in verse 8. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch. keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you got to understand, and I first heard this and learned it, and I've since read it in books, but I first heard it on a trip that Kim and I made with a group to Israel. And we went to visit Bethlehem. We didn't get to go into the town of Bethlehem, but we went to the outskirts, and we're up on the top of a hill, and we're looking at a field that stretched down to the little town of Bethlehem. And our guide told us that for thousands of years now, shepherds have grazed their sheep on the fields that surround Bethlehem, and that these are the sheep that were used as sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. Think about that. That means these shepherds are very special shepherds. They're not average run-of-the-mill shepherds, and they're not average run-of-the-mill sheep. They are raising the sheep that will be offered up as sacrifices in the temple. That's important because, as the Bible tells us, the Lamb, Jesus, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Think about this for a minute. Jesus is the Lamb of God. These shepherds are raising the lambs that will be sacrificed. These shepherds understand here is God, and that God is going to someday send the Messiah, and the Messiah is going to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And I'm not saying they understood that the Messiah himself would be the Lamb of God, would be the sacrifice for our sin, but they understood that the offerings in the temple, the sacrifices in the temple were temporary. That they weren't going to have to do that throughout all of eternity. That in some way the Messiah would come and make a final sacrifice so that their sins are covered. And just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, they would live with God forever in his kingdom. And so they knew these lambs that they're raising, they point to the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. They embody the gospel. Here are these shepherds engaged in this sacred work, and yet their expectation for what God would do in their life that first Christmas was down through the cellar. Yeah, God's going to send the Messiah someday. But not this day. And not in our day, and not in my life. They had faith in God, but very low expectations of God. Isn't it easy for you and for me to say we believe in Jesus? And we do. We believe in Jesus. And yet at the very same time, begin to lower our expectation for what we're going to unwrap from our relationship with Jesus this Christmas. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not really expecting him to work any miracles in my marriage. I'm not really expecting him to work any miracles in my dating life and show me who I'm supposed to marry. I'm not really expecting him to heal my body. I'm not really expecting him to do anything dramatic in my office to transform and save my coworker. I'm not really expecting him to do anything as far as healing broken relationships in my family. No. I believe in Jesus, and just like the shepherds, that just means that I believe I'm going to go to heaven when I die. It's easy to believe in Jesus, but have very low expectations for Jesus, isn't it? See, we've all heard of Superman, right? I don't want to get into any controversies, political or otherwise. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But I just have to weigh in on this one. I mean, Superman versus Batman. Seriously, come on. Man of Steel? I mean, the guy can catch a bullet. It bounces off of him. I'll take Superman in that battle every single time. But we know Superman has one incredible weakness. Help me out here. What is it? I mean, you just sprinkle that pixie dust kryptonite in his face and he wilts like a flower in the desert heat, right? Let me tell you something. Low expectations for Jesus are kryptonite to our faith in Jesus. Don't settle this Christmas for the belief that it's not possible for you to unwrap anything from your relationship with Jesus. Don't begin to settle for a faith that has very little expectations of what God is going to do in your life, your family, your world. Don't settle for a faith without hope. Instead, there's something that you can do that the shepherds did, and that is to seek a fresh encounter with the living God. Seek a fresh encounter with Jesus. Let's read about the shepherd's encounter. And the angel, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can we just all agree? Let's just forget the sermon for a second. Can we just agree that if an angel appears to you this afternoon, say at 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord is shining all around you, that will get your attention. Amen? So my question is, how did these shepherds know it was actually an angel that had appeared to them and not just the Domino's guy ordering the pizza they delivered? And how did they know this is the glory of the Lord shining around them and not just the sun reflecting off of the moon, causing the moon to glow? How did they know it wasn't a passing comet or a meteorite? How did they know? Actually, I've done a lot of study on this question, and I've come to a very authoritative answer. Number one, the text doesn't say, and we don't know. We don't know how they knew. They just knew. And so it's fair to say, right? If you encounter Jesus, you will know it. Amen? Now listen to me. Let's dig deeper into the text. Let's see, when these shepherds encountered Jesus, how did they know they'd encountered Jesus? What was the result of the encounter? Let me tell you something. When you encounter Jesus this Christmas, you will do what the shepherds did, and that is you will stand in awe. Notice that the angel begins to unpack for these shepherds who Jesus is. Unto you is born. Mark that word, born. In this day in the city of David, a Savior. Mark that word, Savior. Who is Christ. Mark that word, Christ. The Lord. Mark that word, Lord. And so the angel comes and he begins to reveal to these shepherds Jesus. And he is saying, this Messiah that you've been waiting for, guess what? He has invaded your world and he has invaded in your day. And you've got low expectations, but it's time to raise your expectations because God has arrived on the scene. And let me tell you something, God is on the scene in your life. And the angel said, guess what? And listen, not only has Jesus been born, but he has come to save you. He has come to rescue you. And we all know that means he is going to rescue us from our enemies and not the ones that we suppose are our enemies. He rescues us from the real enemy of sin and death and Satan and hell. And they said, hey, the angel said to these shepherds, this Messiah has come. He is born. He is here. It is time to raise your expectations. And I'm telling you, he is here to rescue you. And oh, by the way, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And what he has come to do is to establish the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God on earth. And by the way, in your heart. So he's not playing around. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that he is what? Not just Christ, but Christ the, help me out, what? The Lord. Oh, by the way, he is coming to establish the kingdom of God, and make no mistake about it, this one who has been born in Bethlehem, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and everyone is going to bow before this King. And I just want you to know that you can raise your expectations because God is on the scene and God is up to something big. And so that's the message. And here's what I want you to understand. These shepherds encountered Jesus before they ever laid their eyes on Jesus. You see that, don't you? I'm going to show you in just a minute where they say, look at this thing that the Lord, not an angel, not the glory of the Lord shining around us even, but that the Lord has revealed to us. They encountered Jesus. And I'm telling you, when they encountered Jesus, they stood in awe of Jesus. And they were saying, Jesus, you are God and you are on the scene and you have come to rescue us and you've come to establish the kingdom and you are the King of Kings. And I'm telling you, when you encounter Jesus, you're not going to be going, how do I know, Pastor? You're going to see Jesus as high and lifted up, and you're going to see Jesus as your King establishing the kingdom, and you're going to be going, Jesus, I just want to bow before you, and I want to confess you are my Lord, and I want to obey you and follow you. See, you'll know when you've encountered Jesus because your heart will begin to cry out, he must increase, but I must decrease. Your heart will cry, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Your heart will cry out, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. You will know, you will know, you will know when you've encountered Jesus because your soul will begin to sing. We're the whole realm of nature mine. God, if I owned everything on planet Earth, and if I were to offer that up to you, Jesus, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine. A king so marvelous and majestic demands my soul, my life, my all. So you'll know when you've encountered Jesus because you'll stand in awe of Jesus. And number two, you will be longing to be in the presence of Jesus. Did you catch the shepherds? They encountered Jesus because the angel revealed Jesus to them. And then they longed to be with Jesus. Look at what it says in 15 and 16. Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord, do you see that? Which the Lord, not an angel, not the glory of the Lord shining around us even. God used that. Those are great things, but the Lord has made known to us. They went with haste. They found Mary, the baby, lying in the manger. What's the point? They encountered Jesus before they ever laid eyes on Jesus. And when they encountered Jesus, they longed to be with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus leads to a longing to be with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus leads to a hunger for God's presence. Can I say something that some of you are going to take as a guilt trip? And I just want you to know, don't I mean this is a guilt trip? So right now, just put it out of your mind. Just say, whatever Gary says, I'm not going to feel guilty, period. But I just want to say something that I hope will strike a chord. As long as your primary focus this Christmas is buying and then exchanging gifts, and as long as your focus is on family gatherings, by the way, are those bad things? Please say no, 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 no. Exchanging gifts and family gatherings, as long as that is your focus, as long as that is your priority, I am here to tell you, listen, you're going to enjoy the holidays, but you're not going to encounter Jesus. Exchanging gifts and family gatherings are great things. We're going to gather together as a family today. Bailey's flying in this afternoon, and all of our family is going to be at our house. I am so excited about that. But those are good things. They're not the best thing. So I'm asking you right now, would you just ask Jesus to raise your expectations? And would you ask Jesus right now, Jesus, would you allow me to see you, to encounter you in such a way that it causes me to stand in awe of you and it causes me to just long to be in your presence? So I told you in this message I was going to ask you a question and just ask you to answer it. No guilt, no guilt, no guilt, no guilt. Just be real. Honestly answer this question. Have you lowered your expectations for Jesus this Christmas? Lowered your expectation for what you are going to unwrap in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Lowered your expectation for what Jesus can do in your dating life, in your family, in your marriage, in your work, in your finances, in your health, in your levels of joy, your level of hope, your capacity to resist sin and walk uprightly before God? Have you lowered your expectation? And before you answer, don't answer it yet. If you've already arrived at an answer, just say, okay, no, put that out of my mind, because I want to ask the question one other way. If Jesus answered every single one of your prayers this Christmas, I mean, let's just say he answers everything you've prayed. Here's my question for you. If Jesus answered every one of your prayers that you've been praying this Christmas, would anyone get saved as a result of those prayers?
Would there be a great awakening in our land? Is there anybody that you know who would turn from their sin and start walking with Jesus anew and afresh? Is there anyone who would begin a discipling relationship with you? Is there any marriage that would be saved? Are there any family members who would be reconciled? Is there any hungry person that would be fed? Any homeless person that would be housed? Is there any widow who would be cared for? So I'm just asking you to just be honest. No guilt. I'm just asking. Have you lowered your expectations for Jesus this Christmas too? Oh, Jesus, help me to buy all the gifts I need to buy. Oh, Jesus, help me to pay for them. And oh, Jesus, when our family gets together, help us to get along and not have any huge explosions. Are those good things? Yes. Are they the best thing? No. The best thing is to encounter Jesus where you stand in awe of Jesus and you say, God, you are not distant. You are present. You are here and you are not silent. And oh God, you have come to rescue me and the people of my family and the people of my country and the people of this world. And oh God, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the one who came to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth and in my heart. And oh God, you are the one who has come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's great to exchange gifts and gather as a family, but it's not the best thing. The best thing is to encounter the living God this Christmas. So, second thing I'm going to ask you to do is this. Seek a fresh encounter with Jesus. Some of you are thinking, who, me? Yeah, you and me. I'm talking to me. And if it applies to you, then jump in here. Seek a fresh encounter with Jesus this Christmas. Remember David with Bathsheba, the whole adultery thing? We could work in murder in there. And then what happens? Nathan the prophet comes and confronts him. What does David do? He doesn't just say, sorry. No. David, out of that experience, seeks a fresh encounter with the living God. Oh, yeah. Just turn to Psalm 51 and read Psalm 51. As a matter of fact, to seek a fresh encounter with the living God, I'm going to ask you to set aside 15 minutes to open up your Bible to Psalm 51 and just sit there, just line by line. Don't read it. I'm asking you, please don't read Psalm 51. I'm asking you to pray Psalm 51 and just pray it phrase by phrase, verse by verse, and just pray this. And what you'll do then is you will be seeking a fresh encounter with the living God. And notice in this psalm how David begins, and yes, he begins with confession. He prays, blot out my transgression. Cleanse me from my sins. But he asks for so much more than that. See, if you seek a fresh encounter with the living God, yeah, you're going to have to come clean before God. You're going to have to be transparent before God. You're going to have to say, God, I am asking you to search my heart and create in me a clean heart, oh God. But notice what else David prays. He says, create in me a clean heart. God, would you just take away my guilt this Christmas? You talk about raising expectations and seeking a fresh encounter with the living God. Listen to this. Renew a right spirit within me. God, would you just transform my attitude and my heart this day? And then notice what he prays. And cast me not away from your presence. God, I'm just asking you to draw near to me and draw me near to you. I just want to experience the closeness of your presence this Christmas. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, will you just fill me with your Holy Spirit? I don't want to be drunk with wine. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, you're the one who saved me. Would you just restore to me the joy of that salvation? Would you raise my level of joy this Christmas? And then notice what he prays. And uphold me with a willing spirit. God, would you just give me a heart that longs to follow you and obey you and doesn't treat you like you're a burden, but treats you like you are my King and my Savior and my Messiah who was born into this world for me. See, that's seeking a fresh encounter with the living God. So I'm going to ask you, would you set aside 15 minutes to just pray through Psalm 51? Let me tell you another way you can seek a fresh encounter with the living God. Christmas Eve. If you gather your family and you say, guys, you know what? Christmas is about exchanging gifts and family gatherings. But that's not the most important thing about Christmas. The most important thing about Christmas is Jesus and encountering Jesus. And so I want us as a family to gather together. And at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I want us to go to church together. And I want us to worship Jesus together. And I want us to proclaim together, Jesus, we stand in awe of you. And the most important thing we want for Christmas is an encounter with you. I'm inviting you to come to Christmas Eve and make that declaration to Jesus Christ. That's it. Question, have you lowered your expectations? And here's my ask. Would you seek a fresh encounter with Jesus? Now let me quickly add, even as Pierce starts to come and he's going to close us out, but listen to me. If you've never encountered Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to seek a fresh encounter. I'm asking you to seek an initial encounter. And here's the gospel. There is a kingdom, and it is the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of this world, and this kingdom is passing away. And everyone who is a citizen of this kingdom, but not the kingdom of God, is going to be destroyed. But you know what Jesus has done? Jesus is the king of this kingdom, and Jesus, the king, has come and said, I so desperately don't want you to die and be destroyed. I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. So I have come and I've died in your place, and I've taken your sin and your shame upon myself, and I have risen again and defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell, and I am inviting you to become a citizen of my kingdom. And the way you do that is you repent, and that doesn't mean saying, oh, sorry, I lost my temper. No, it means you say, I repent of living as if you are not my supreme authority. Living as if you're not my king. Living in a way that I don't bow before you and submit my life to you. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me of that? And Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Messiah who died on the cross and rose again. And Jesus, I commit myself to follow you as my king, my Lord, my Savior. If you've never done that, listen, as soon as I finish preaching, I'm going to walk back to that next step room. Pierce is going to come up here, and he's going to close out this service. But I invite you, if you want to know more about how you can encounter Jesus for the very first time, come up there, or just pray this prayer right now. Just look up to heaven and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the king of the kingdom of God. I believe you died, you were buried, you rose again. And right now, I repent of rejecting your authority over my life. I tell you, I believe in you. And I commit myself right now to follow you all of my days. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, listen, you come back to the next step room because I want to give you a big hug and I want to celebrate with you and I want to tell you what the next steps are. Matter of fact, you have any needs this morning, listen, there are going to be others back there with me. I'd love to meet you if you're a guest. Just come back to the next step room and let's talk about next steps with Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for giving us the example of the shepherds who, though they lowered their expectations for what you would do in their life, they encountered you, and in encountering you, stood in awe and began to long to be with you. Lord, would you let us each one encounter you this Christmas? We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.